that is, you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Nice.
How we doing?
Good, man.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Full Reptile Radio. Back in a normal spot. We're not playing PlayStation this week.
No.
We're going to do that after. How are you doing?
Good. Well, not good. Terrible.
Oh, no.
Well, terrible for the year, but I'll fill you in on that in a bit.
Okay.
But
yeah, it's, yeah, okay.
Shit year.
Yeah, rough.
Because, well, I may as well tell you now.
Go on, then.
What, I don't know who I've upset or what I've done for 2020. It's not been good. And this part of this, I need to be able to tell the people who want to buy stuff, who have bought stuff, and the raptors and other people. I want to firstly say thank you to our audience because they've been wicked, because everyone's been proper mellow. And we had the raptor stuff that went out. I've just printed that up. We're getting a load of questions about, oh, when's the website up? And basically, I want to address that just to say thank you for your patience. But 2020 has been grade A bullshit.
Yeah.
Number one bullshit.
Yeah, number one.
Fuck me. So.
What is it? We took the website down what?
We just, took the website down Christmas? Just after Christmas, 28th.
With the intention of it being down for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and we've got a new collection that I'm putting together and everything's looking good. So it's all coming. But.
But.
There was a bit of a hoo-ha on the 28th at our house.
It's a very British thing to say.
Yeah, it was a domestic grandparent-grandchild issue.
Okay.
Which was dog shit, which I'm going to have to deal with. And then it was 2 days after that, one of my best friends from school got murdered. So that's in a really sleepy village where I grew up. So that sort of fucked my brain a bit because she was my age, obviously.
Which is even more weird in a sleepy village.
Yes, for real.
It only happens in places like Emmerdale and stuff.
Tell me about it. Yeah, and then they get recast a few months later, but that's not going to happen, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've known her since we were about, we went to playgroup together. So properly, two or three really good mates. And it was one of them where that sort of twisted me a bit because I've got kids that the same age she's got kids. And like, it was just horrible. So it fucked my head up. So that was bad. Then 2 days later, my auntie, or Stacey's auntie, sorry, got rushed into hospital. One that we've spoke about before, Nikki. Well, I'll dedicate this podcast to Nikki, the fucker. So she was suffering with cancer and then all of a sudden really quickly passed away, which we're all obviously devastated about. So we went down, sorted that out, and on the way back talking about like what we're going to do now and all the rest of it. And basically after 2 days after that, her husband then passed away, or partner. So that's the two people. Now there's three dogs to rehome, four cats, six guinea pigs and a tortoise.
My goodness.
I wasn't allowed the tortoise, so I got a dog.
Can I have it?
Yes. So I will bring that around. It can be the coffee
My
table.
My sister would love it.
Yeah, man. He's fucking wicked. His name's Max. Maximus.
Maximus.
Yeah. So
bring him in. We could be the Moscat.
He'll be the Moscat. He'll be the coffee table.
I need some sleep, man. I had no sleep last night.
No, I'm not getting a lot of sleep.
That video I uploaded of me hitting the bag on my Instagram was not too far after I'd finished hitting the bag, and I think I uploaded it at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
I'm not getting a lot of sleep. But after that.
Yeah, so you've got a new dog.
Yeah, we got the dog.
Adopted a dog.
We got Hennessy, Henry, or Yak and Coke.
Yeah.
And then Stacey's mum had a heart attack last week.
Oh.
Shout out to the fucking 2020.
And we've lost Kobe.
And Kobe. Mate, you fucking mad.
Unbelievable. I tell you what, it was unbelievable to watch how it completely took over Instagram.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know whether that's just because the people that I follow are mostly sports people.
I did think the same thing.
It was like tattoo artists and I mean, I mainly follow MMA and tattoo artists.
Yes.
And everybody was posting something.
Yeah.
Like, you can't imagine. Like, I bet he, when he was alive, didn't realise the impact that he'd had on so many people.
Yeah. I think it would have, he'd have known to a degree, but you can't fathom. Like, it's like when Michael Jackson died, you know, that sort of.
Yeah.
And there was not really social then. But it was more, did you see, is it Chris D'Elia? The comedian. Yeah, I think I'll check in a sec. He put out a tweet, like a real bad, like, yeah, well, and it was just really derogatory towards Kobe and the Lakers and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And it's the comments and stuff and people going off. I mean, even comments, like, when people were putting out, they were putting, oh my God, Kobe's passed away, hearts go out to him. And then someone put in the comment, his daughter was with him as well, you know, and you're like, fucking right, hell, calm down, sorry. Yeah. There were several other families that, fuck, man, I didn't know that, or I didn't know them. And then there was another one, because I watched the video and it was like it was a Marine vet in America, and he was sat there going, I want to talk to all the fucking people who were talking about.
Yeah. A Marine veteran, as in like a veterinarian for Marine animals?
Yes. No. He had the guns. Okay. So a Marine vet, so a vet Marine.
Wait, we have to clarify, I don't, you know.
He was a soldier. He was a soldier. But he was sort of trying to put it out there, because people were, again, when someone would post about Kobe, they'd be like, oh, why don't we have this exposure when a serviceman dies? And you're like,
yeah,
come on now, man, play the game.
Time. Yeah, so it was amazing to watch the impact that he's had.
Yeah,
crazy. I mean, I was never really into basketball, I never have been.
But you know, Kobe,
basketball. Of course, yeah,
you know, purple, yeah, and yellow,
definitely,
man.
So, yeah. Rough 2020, really.
It's been dog shit, mate. Yeah. I mean, work's been wicked, but. That's because we were playing PlayStation and mooching, but it's one of them. I mean, I'm back on it. I'm back in. The only reason I've not been in is because I've been either in a hospital, a funeral. I read the shit out of Nicky's eulogy, to be fair.
Did you? Yeah.
I dressed as an evil cowboy. Yeah. And I did.
Dressed as an evil cowboy.
For her.
For her.
Yeah. At this, it was a nice place, but basically, I didn't know that you pay someone to read a eulogy. And that to me is alien. I thought that was a bit strange. Like, I've been to a lot of funerals and I've seen people read it. My mum read it, my grandparents. So to me, the thought that it was family that do it. So her son, she only got one son, he couldn't do it, obviously. So I spoke to him and I was like, I'll do it. And I was like, oh man. And I had the best time just winding up the rest of the family about the shit I was going to say. Because me and Nicky had a real needle relationship. It was wicked, lots of banter. And it was really funny because I was like, well, they'd say to me, right, you're going to read this section and then this section and then we're going to do some pictures about this. And I was like, oh no, you've not got time for that with activity one. And they're like, what the fuck's activity
we're
one?
Starting with this song.
You're not going to have your shoes back on, but yeah. You're still going to have the blooming in between your legs and trying to put woolly gloves on and cut chocolate with handcuffs on. Can you remember that as a kid's game? Remember that? It's like a kid's party game. So basically, you'd have to run along, you'd have to put like a woolly hat on, you'd put a coat on, you'd put a pair of gloves on, and then there's a bar of dairy milk, which is just a bar of chocolate, at the end on a table with a knife and fork, and you had to try and cut a chunk of chocolate off. And if you cut some off, you got to keep it. You couldn't snap it, and it was like a relay game.
Has anyone ever played that game? Have you ever heard of that game? Okay, both the Raptors are shaking.
Am I explaining this really badly?
No, you're talking shit about a game that doesn't exist.
It's fucking brilliant.
Comments in the section below, please.
Definitely, without a doubt.
Heard of that?
100%.
It's like one of those card games that like when I was at sixth form, we had a game at school called Shithead.
Go on.
Right, you know Shithead, right? See, these things kind of spread, but they tend to start in one place and then tend to hop from one school to the next.
They do have different names.
So like, I've met a few people and they're like, oh yeah, no, this game's called such and such.
Yeah, Ding Dong or like Donkey or something.
And it's always some ridiculous name.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're going to get called if you lose the game.
Yes.
So Shithead is why it's called Shithead.
Well, this was a kid's party game. This is like fully like 7, 8-year-olds.
Shithead's a kid's party game.
Oh, really? Yeah, probably. Yeah. So,
I was watching old school the other day. What a fucking scene that is where Will Ferrell gets the dart in the neck.
Oh, mate. I'd love...
You're crazy. Slaps the kid out of the way.
The whole, what's it? I can't remember what I was going to say about Will Ferrell. I was about to tell you something about Will Ferrell. And that was that. It's just gone. I was going to say something.
You watched that film, The House?
Yes.
That's good.
Where he can't do maths at all. Because the guy that's the other main guy in that, I can't remember his name, but he's Ralphie Bomb in The League. Which is...
He's also the voice of the crazy
in,
kid.
Yeah,
on,
in
Big Mouth.
Yeah, but he's
like
fucking
kid.
Amazing.
I think he might be his own hormone monster.
Yeah. Well, he's the one who fucks the pillows, Jay.
Yeah.
Well, he's in The League, and that's where Pocket Hot Dog comes from.
Oh, is it really?
So literally, he's walking along and then just whips out a hot dog out of his pocket and starts eating. And they're like, question him, go, yo, the fuck? He's like, what, my pocket dog? I always have a pocket hot dog.
He's in, what's his name as well? Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes, it's Mona's girlfriend. Ramona's? Mona? Boyfriend.
And he's nuts in that as well.
He is. He's always nuts. Look, his hair. You can't get up in the morning and be like, I'll be sane today.
Yeah.
If he brushed his hair, it'd be fucking scary.
I don't know what the guy's name is, do you?
I can find out because I feel like we need to because he's obviously going to listen to this.
Yeah. We, once upon a time, when we first started the podcast, we talked about having a Jamie, didn't we?
We did. Now we've got two.
Now we've got two of them and they're both standing there fiddling with their nuts.
He's fully fiddling with his nuts. That's after Area 51.
Yeah. Dude, the Raptor vlog that they did.
Awesome.
I was explaining this the other day to someone. I like the channel to have some variety. And I was looking through the channel the other day and looking at some of the other stuff we've got on there. Like One Day with John Gooden and the Jack Shaw one. We've got some more of those coming out soon. The Raptor vlog, I just love it. It's absolute gold. Because it's like, that's the kind of stuff that I used to love watching. You know what I mean?
I love it. I was even saying
it keeps my artistic side, my creative side going.
But it's always got a different little bit every time. That's not blowing smoke up your ass.
Yeah. Oh, in the Batcave.
Yeah.
Dude, how much good stuff is in the Batcave? Like it's Jimmy Gifford. The reason, we're not giving away much more information because you've got way too much in that 30-minute video. He is an encyclopedia of knowledge, Jimmy Gifford, and most people don't know about him. He's like one of those kind of, he's like the hidden gem of the MMA world.
The Oracle.
Yeah, exactly. Like fighters know about him. It's like, oh yeah, you know Gif. Oh yeah, Jimmy Gifford. He's held pads for almost everybody. Everybody from Conor McGregor to John Jones. Everybody. He used to train Misha. Like he's been involved in the behind the scenes of the UFC for many, many years.
He's the foundation, man.
But the reason he came to Vegas was to train Dana when Dana was going to fight Tito Ortiz in a boxing match. Gif was going to be his boxing coach. That's
Can you remember
how he
that?
Ended up in Vegas.
I was buzzing for that. I
and
watched
Dana
the whole build-up.
Dana was legit signed. Like Gif's given me the whole backstory. Dana was signed.
Yeah.
Like and Tito can't.
Are we not at liberty to say? Can we guess? Can we guess the next word?
I don't know what the next word was. I've already forgot what I was going to say. Basically, Dana was all about the fight.
He was.
Like, he was ready to
fight.
He
was shredded as well.
And Tito, not so much, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But Dana was ready and training. And brought Gif out to Vegas to train him for the fight. How cool is that? But he's just like, so the thing is, so then when that fight never happened, Gif was in Vegas and Dana was like, okay, well, here's UFC 1 to 100. Let me know what you think. And he just sat in the Palace Station in Vegas at the hotel and just watched all of the UFCs and just absorbed it all. Of
course he did.
And he's got, I don't know, sometimes you get those people and they've got a real special mind. And I don't see it as much in MMA because you have to know so much. But in boxing, like you'll get a great boxing coach that was either never a great boxer or never boxed at all.
Like Chubbs off of Happy Gilmore. The guy that loses his hand and trains Adam Sandler.
Yes, exactly. So see? Like, I would have never made that connection.
But you know what I mean?
I was told I had a brain like an unmade bed yesterday. From Charles, the producer of Inside the Oxygen.
Still practical, but not quite as comfy.
He came in, he's like, someone said this to me once, and it's a great quote, and it reminds me of you. You've got a mind like an unmade bed. I'm like, what does that mean? Because it was when I mentioned the Pink Floyd reference when I was talking about Shevchenko.
My head must be a shredded hammock at the minute.
In hindsight, likening a Shevchenko fight to a Pink Floyd album, it's a bit off the wall. Ooh.
See what he did? You can have the little graphic. Just a little graphic just going across.
Beautiful.
Okay. But the thing is, I think a lot of it comes down to ego because you look at someone like Gif and he's just a dude and he'd hold the door open for someone going in or out. Mm-hmm. He's just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cain Velasquez always came across like that to me.
Yeah.
When he, you know, even when he was champion, he's still mopping the mats down and stuff. I know he wasn't a coach, but he always seemed quite humble.
Just stayed level.
Yeah, just like level. His dad was
came
a cabbage farmer.
Jack Shaw as well. And I get the impression with Jack Shaw, I know he's not hit his height of fame yet, which is still, you know, in his future, but I just kind of feel like he's going to maintain that. You know what I mean? He's going to maintain that.
Coach. Isn't his dad his coach? Isn't he got like a really good structure anyway? Yeah, and it kind of
gym looks amazing.
Yeah, it's a Wonderboy situation again, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
We used to have it a bit. I used to ride motorbike trials for Levi's back in the day, and there was a few families there that you could tell. Like, and trials is basically it's all obstacles like junior kickstart and stuff like that. Dougie Lampkin, the champion, it's fucking brilliant and really hard. But you'd see certain families that have got their kids all the way up to the top, but they're like, literally, that's it. You're not, there's no ego. Don't fucking show off. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. Like, you'd see them, and then you see other kids, like, trying to do backflips and shit. And it's weird, because both ways work, But it's just funny how you find yourself go more towards one rather than the other.
It gets in your way, ego does. Almost all the time. It can be useful occasionally, especially when you're fighting, you're competing. You need a bit. You need to believe in yourself and invest in yourself. Sometimes you need to convince other people to invest in you as well.
Yeah.
So a bit of ego is useful, I do think. But you've got to be able to check it and control it. And just Gift just doesn't have an ego. He's all about the fighters.
Yeah.
Like when he walked me out at UFC 146 at the MGM. So I had Gift, Ricky Lundell and Sean Yarbrough in my corner. But as I walked out, I had Chris Irwin join me, who was, he ran the gun store at the time.
Okay.
And Chris was really ill at the time. He was going through chemotherapy and was really struggling. Like he was in the changing rooms with us at the back, and he kept having to have this special drink to keep his throat lubricated because he was having loads of chemo on his neck. But I was like, I said to the UFC, I'm like, can I have him, can he walk out with me for the fight? And immediately Gift's like, oh, I'll just meet you at the cage. I'll just meet you at the octagon. So like he didn't even walk out with me.
Of course.
Like, Chris right behind me. And then like at the side, when I got to the octagon, Gift just kind of steps in.
Yeah, selfless,
man. Low profile all the time. Never wants to be on shot. I was surprised how comfortable he was with the cameras rolling, to be honest. But he was, I think that's because he was in his own gym.
Yeah.
But like just the knowledge that he's got and the way that he delivers it as well. Like I'm looking at you two. I'm supposed to be talking to the camera. Because you know you were there.
Yeah. Well, you've already seen it.
Yeah. Well, you heard, just seen, you know. That's a Wayne's World reference. I don't know why I keep using it. But it was the thing where he was talking about range. The closest thing is the furthest thing, and the furthest thing is the closest thing. Like, as soon as he said that, I'm like, I've never heard anybody say that before, and it immediately doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Let me just process that for a day.
and the way he says things, he's like, get set. Like, get in your stance. Like, get ready, get set. And then he'll have me throw like two jabs. It's in the video. He'll have me throw two jabs, and then he'll have me throw the right cross. And he'll go, look at this, parry. This is going through my fucking face. he's brilliant. He's absolute gold. So I wanted to be able to get some of that
gold
stuff. You know what I mean? We've got another piece coming out, Batcave Returns, which is fucking really good. But it needs a bit of tweaking.
We're going to throw them all. We're going to have Batcave forever.
We're giving away way too much good stuff. I'm going to keep a little bit back for the future. Archive it. You know what I mean?
Back to the back for the future.
Ooh. Huh? Right.
So.
You want to talk about the fights?
Well, just a quick one off of what we were talking about there, because I thought this was a good segue.
Okay.
Ego. Do you reckon Gift's got more or less of an ego than Stephen A. Smith?
That guy's hard work, isn't he?
Man.
He's basically just an antagonist. That's all he does. He's like, I don't think he knows shit about anything. Like, what's his background? Is there a sport he knows anything about?
I think he played a bit of basketball somewhere, somehow.
Is that right? Because he sure as shit can't hit pads.
No.
Like,
dude.
If Stephen A. Smith, you're most likely not listening to this, but if someone is that can get a word to him, your padman's fucking with you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, trying to make you look silly.
Yeah. Like, stop. That was a setup. That was a setup.
Like you're not punching anybody down with a shot like that.
He said it was his kill shot.
Or was it?
I don't know.
Yeah. So is that why you hit him with an uppercut afterwards?
Yeah. He's fighting an octopus.
And then, like, someone's diving over him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, he's like, training for a zombie apocalypse.
I understand. It's a weird... We were discussing it before we started recording the podcast. Like, it's a weird dynamic, and I don't, like, we get it sometimes in the UK, but I don't think quite as much. It seems to be more of an American thing for American TV. Like, I remember being at, like, people's houses who had, like, you know, a channel on Fox or whatever, and it's just aggro.
Noise, just yeah.
Aggro, the people fucking going back and forth at each other and just toxic, nasty vibrations. Yeah. And, like, the thing is as well, like, people walk into the room and they'll switch it on and they don't even watch it.
No.
They just bathe in
it. They need to have that background fuzz. Soup. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shitty soup.
Or, like, fucking judgmental and gross. Yeah. And, oh, and this person said this and snowflakes and blah, blah, blah and all this fucking we matter and they matter and we don't matter. And it's fucking just...
Headache. Like,
just turn it off. Put fucking Ravi Shankar on and just sit in the quiet for 5 minutes. Like, that can't be good for people's health.
No. But it's... I think I said... it felt like he was a petulant 12-year-old. Look, I've got an 11-year-old daughter at the minute.
Yeah.
And I said, it's just like a petulant 12-year-old that knows they're wrong, But there's now, their only escape plan is going full aggro. So you can't apologize. You can't be like, yeah, my bad. You have to go, yeah, well, what about, and it's like, the problem with that is then that platform gets more views because it's supersized aggro,
yeah,
as opposed to just regular meal. And the difference being is if you, the issue I took with it more than anything, being an MMA fan of what he said, was the words he used were things like he was disgusted with Cowboy and things like that, which, like, the whole thing that him having an opinion, thinking, you sold this to me being a massive fight and he just fucking trounced him. Bullshit. That's his issue. So that's fine. You can have that opinion, but there's certain opinions you have as a UFC representative that you wouldn't share,
yeah,
because it might be a bit outlandish. We can hear it, but then maybe not. It's not for everyone.
The thing is, I kind of said the same thing on Open Mat, though. Like, and I was surprised that more people didn't criticize me for it.
Well, maybe he took all the fire. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We're fucking Eskimo brothers at the minute. But
I kind of said the same thing, though. I was disappointed.
But you weren't disgusted.
No, 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 no.
And to me, I know it's only a word, but if you said to someone, I'm disgusted with you.
Yeah, it's a strong word.
It's kind of harsh when, like, Cowboy, we know he's a slow starter. We know that he's got mad flustered with those shoulders, which would have come keen, busted his nose, broke his arm.
They'd have come keen.
They'd come mad keen. And he catches a head kick. So, he lasts three times as long as Aldo. And no one questioned Aldo because he got starched.
Yeah.
So, it's one of them, but you can't say you're fucking disgusted. And then when someone's like, yo, you should apologise because you used the wrong kind of term. And he's like, well, let me just get on my soapbox a bit more.
Yeah.
He's thinking, oh, fuck off, yeah, you clown shoes twat.
Let me just yell a bit louder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
double dickhead. Like, just a double dickhead.
All he's there for is to antagonise and to cause that toxic vibration.
Like Thrush. Yeah. Any. Imagine if you got some Caniston and just rubbed it on him. He's just
Stephen A. Thrush.
Stephen A. Thrush. You fucking...
What's his name?
Stephen A. Smith.
That's it. Here we go. Stephen A. Thrush.
Oh, man, definitely.
Yeah.
Let's get a Caniston campaign after that bastard. Fuck me. Just irritating cunt.
Stephen A. Thrush.
Yeah, Caniston. It was just one of them where, like, someone's... He's not in that... What did you say?
He said immediately, this is getting clipped.
Oh, shit. Yeah, don't put the C bomb in there because Elaine will listen to it and she'll slap me one day. She'll just throw them 50p's back at me.
She listens to it. I know she does. I said the other day when I was chatting to her, I'm like, you listen to the podcast.
She should come on. We should have your mum and dad on.
You reckon, yeah.
That'd be badass, yeah.
Yeah.
Stace was listening to Dax Shepherd earlier.
Okay.
And he does a wicked podcast. It's really good. You shouldn't listen to it before you listen to this, but it is good. And he was interviewing Dog, the bounty hunter.
Right.
And he was saying it's the best interview he's ever done because it just reminded me of his dad. And the other favourite interview he's done. Bear in mind, he spoke to everyone.
When has anybody?
I don't know how hardcore his dad is, but obviously, Dog the Bounty Hunter's like,
I loved interviewing Dog. He reminded me of my dad.
Mate, he's a proper dude. Join chat. Yeah, he's the boy. And Dax was saying his other favourite interview was his mum. So I think that'd be kind of cool because to hear, especially even if it was on an MMA tilt, I mean, we could talk to her about knitting and doing different bits and bobs, but not knitting, fucking tapestries and
cross stitches.
That's the word.
What's called?
Yeah, crossed it.
Yeah.
But it'd still be interesting to see her, what she's taken from MMA and how she's seen you develop and what it means to her now. Because I know they still watch it and they're still into it. But it's mainly
They still follow it. Still into it. My dad and they're always at the ice hockey and the football as well. They go to Forest every week and Nottingham Panthers. But yeah. I could literally do a Teddy Bears Enthusiast podcast with my mum.
Imagine.
Like a weekly. Like every other day we could put a new podcast out, the amount of beers.
Could you imagine that with your mom? Just that, hi, and welcome to
Full
Reptile Bears.
Welcome to Teddy Bear Enthusiast.
Yeah. With Dan's mom. Mm. Yeah, that's badass.
So what else? What do you think of the fights this weekend? Or the ones that are just gone?
Fucking brilliant.
Blades is good, isn't he?
Yes. And it was kind of hard.
Message off Dean straight away. He was like, he's a legit heavyweight.
He is, and I think the problem is the two Ngannou like situations. The first one especially was like he walked away fuming.
Yeah,
I know it's done now, it's finished. Don't worry about it. But he became one of Ngannou's highlights, and in that, like, whenever you think of Curtis Blaydes, you don't necessarily think of him starching people. You think of him being hit by Ngannou. Yeah. Which is kind of bad. It's hard.
I mean, to be honest, if I think of Curtis Blaydes now, I think of that elbow he landed against Overeem.
Oi.
That was brutal.
Filth.
It was like pinpoint accurate. They're my favourite kind of elbows, the ones that come over the top like that.
But he definitely, like...
I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
But like that second, I mean, and that second one, it's always frustrating when you get knocked out in 40-odd seconds.
Yeah, of course.
Always. I've knocked a couple of guys out fast as well, and I always thought to myself, that must sting a bit more,
it's not
because
fair.
You've done a full training
camp. Yeah, man.
And you didn't get to show anything what you were capable of. But then at the same time, I thought about that knockout the other day because I was watching Reyes against Cannonier.
Yeah.
Hit him with that uppercut.
Yeah.
Started the end of the finish, then chased him down with another one.
Yeah.
And like that knockdown was you know, a lot like that, where he went down limp and then got back up.
Oh.
But his eyes were still spinning. You know what
but
I mean?
The JDS, I mean, the problem is we haven't seen JDS for time, proper JDS. And I mean, you know, when you look at how long ago he fought Kane. Now, bear in mind, he was legit on the way up to Kane.
Mm.
And when he beat Kane, and when he was champ. I know, obviously, he was having a lot of issues out with divorce and stuff when he lost his belt. And obviously, but he's never been the same. He's never been the same. And even when you go, look, how long ago do you reckon that was against Kane, the first one? Was that 2012?
I would think so, yeah.
Mate.
No, it would have been older than that, wouldn't it?
It's 2011.
Jeez.
If you'd have bought a Kia then, it would be out of its warranty by now.
Why would I buy a Kia? We've got Rygor.
That's fucking time.
Oh, we've got Paul on the podcast.
Yep, nice. Yeah, shout out to Rygor, the dragon, after we just drop in other... Well, a car. If you bought a car with a 7-year warranty, it would be fucking... You could have had a kid. You could have, like... That kid's nearly going to junior school. It was that long ago.
Mystery's got his packed lunch out.
Oh, has he? Is he snacking?
He's eating his sandwiches. You don't have to be in the dining room to eat, mate. Oh no, you make loads of noise, don't you? Fucking.
I'm a very loud chera.
Yeah, staying there. Mark Goddard's going to message me in a minute. Is Mystery fucking eating a sandwich?
Where are you? Wales.
Yeah. Bahrain. I'll tell him to shut up.
But yes, so Jay, it's a name, but it's not the same name as it was. It's like who was the last person to beat Kane? And it was like,
yeah,
you've not beat Cain Velasquez, you beat a shell of Cain Velasquez. Yeah. So I was pleased for Blades because, I mean, he is legit.
He is good. He is good. And he's like right at the top of the division as well as far as weight, isn't he?
Well, he gives us a lot of exciting options because is it Ngannou's fighting Rosenstrike?
Yeah, Rosenstrike.
That's going to be interesting. Uh-huh.
And then there are two heavyweight fights on the 247, aren't there? We've got, I know we're jumping about a bit. We've got Latifi moving up to heavyweight to fight Ngannou.
Yes.
And then we've got those two monsters, Taffer and, why am I forgetting his name?
I can't remember.
I was staring at it yesterday when we were doing the Inside the Octagon. It just, that show just wrecks my brain.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, I do, 2 days of research, 1 day of, like, prep where we build the playlists and structure the show. And then I should show you the plan that I make for this show.
It's big. There's a lot.
Shall I show you the... Where is it?
I don't even know.
Jamie, you know in there is my camouflage backpack in the kitchen somewhere. You just bring it to me, please. Thank you.
But then and you get 25 minutes.
Well, we don't. I mean, we do. It's longer than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Gary has to sit and try and cut it down and find ways to shorten it because we have it like a TV window to fit. So that's the one. So like this, so like on a deck. So what I do is, so the process is I watch through all the fights. Nice one. I watch through all the fights, back catalog, make my notes on each of the fights and the clips that I want to use. Then I start thinking to myself, okay, if I'm this person and I'm facing him, how do I approach the first round? What do I expect from him? What am I going to do? What are my tools?
Okay.
And then I do the same thing for my opponent.
In reverse.
It's the same as I used to do when I was fighting. I'm like, I used to go, okay, who am I? How do I approach him? Or sometimes I'd go the opposite way around. I'd start with them and I'd watch their back catalogue, whatever I could find on them. And I go, right, I know what kind of fighter they are. So they're going to do this. So now what do they think of me? What are they going to expect from me and do it the opposite way?
Yeah.
That's where ego came in, you see, because if you put yourself into the equation, you can't help but put some ego in there, especially when you're fighting.
Well, I'll slip that.
Exactly. Because it's like, he's not hit me. I did the same thing for Condit. He's not hurt me. Exactly, you know what I mean? You fucking learn these lessons. it catches up eventually.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, calm as a motherfucker, innit?
So that's why I do the same process, but now I'm out of the equation, so I just do for both fighters. And then that's how we kind of build the playlist. And then what I do is I have a big pad, and then I write down the playlists. And Oh, thanks.
That's fine.
So you got the rust.
That's fine.
I mean, this is like the skeleton, but that's kind of finished. That's how it. So that's kind of how we structure it. And I go the different playlists, and then the talking points in each place. What I want to talk about, the reason I'm saying it, and then I build the playlists around each, you know, to suit those points.
And do you write all of that on your arm? Is that why you wear shorts? Is it hidden within your tattoos? A bit like Prison Break.
But yeah, people think they're tattoos, but they're not. I have to get them lasered and
you've got a full Prison Break suit inside the Octagon.
Yeah.
It's been cancelled. What?
Can you imagine?
Tony Khabib's been cancelled.
This sleeve is the game plan to beat to Jon Jones, and this sleeve is the game plan to beat Conor McGregor.
And this whole leg is Khabib Ferguson. Khabib Ferguson. Yeah. Khabib Ferguson.
Yeah.
Fucking
hell. That's it, yeah. It's a weird process, and it's strangely exhausting.
The thing is, it always comes across with so much energy, and the reason I say that is because I'll often watch it on, I'll probably watch it on YouTube, so I might watch the slightly longer one.
Yeah, but no, they're all the same now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, the YouTube ones used to be longer.
Yeah, it used to be longer. Mm. They're always over really quick. I always find myself, I normally sat with my laptop, it's playing, I'm listening, but then before you know it, it's like, right, see you next time. I'm thinking, what the fuck? Because you've sort of bounced.
Yeah.
It's almost skipped along so quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can imagine that's going to take it out of you, dude.
It does. It's more than anything. It feels like I watch all the fights. I watch all the fights, and I absorb all the information. And then so this weekend, it was kind of a similar structure every time. So I have Saturday and Sunday, I watch the fights. I kind of absorb the information. I think about it a lot. I do some shadow boxing of the fighters. Then Monday, I send the clips to Gary, all the clips that I want. Then I got to go and sit, and Gary and I sit, and we build the playlist. And he asks me questions and, you know, helps me kind of sort through all the nonsense that I've gathered in my mind. We put the playlist. Yeah, we put the playlist in order, and then I try and put them in a logical process so they flow nicely. So the answer to Reyes' fast start is Jon Jones' pressure.
Yeah.
Once Jon Jones is pressured, then he's going to start using his kicks. If he wants to beat Reyes at his own game, that's when Reyes is on his back foot using his low kicks to beat up Jon Jones. Yeah. Jon Jones will then start to step into the clinch to smother that. Then he's got the counter punch in. So you see how these things kind of flow on from one to the next as the fight may possibly flow. But like once it's all in my brain and the playlists are made, like we're going to record and it feels like I have this like... It's
almost like sitting in an
exam.
It's
like I need to puke. It's like I've got it's an exorcism. It's like I need to get it out.
Yeah.
And like as soon as they press record, it's like the same when we do war rooms. Yeah. And stuff. That's why we don't, you know, they paint it, but there's no editing.
Yeah.
Mainly. There's no editing. We don't clip war rooms, do we? No.
Well, it's that old thing. You remember that Homer Simpson meme that said, every time I learn something new, it pushes the old stuff out?
Yeah.
And it's almost when you have got...
That's why I keep forgetting people's names.
Yeah, well, it was when you got that chunk of shit in the back of your head that you're like, I've got to say this in one go. But so someone told me a really good method of remembering because I used to be terrible.
Did you forget it?
No. When I was at Egg, I nearly lost my job before it had started because I couldn't pass the world of banking.
When you were an Egg?
When I was an Egg... A small Sheldon.
Before Owen hatched.
Yeah, before I hatched, I lived in a little incubator, and we had to do exams on banking, and basically, if I didn't pass it, I was sacked.
Right.
And so I had to learn,
it's kind of like an early drug test.
It's fucking stupid, mate. The thing is, it was like, you know, when you send a BAX, a 3 to 5 working day transfer.
Mm.
Do you need to know when BAX were introduced or what BAX stands for?
What does BAC stand for? It's, I was actually just going to ask
Bank
you what
Automated does BAC... Clearing Service or something. And then there's CHAPS as well, which is the same day but costs £25, which is Clearing House
Chaps.
Automated Process.
I thought they were the...
Yeah, they are gay cowboy chaps. Yeah, but it's similar, but the cowboy ones are more expensive.
Ah, I see. And are they really?
Yeah.
Because banks normally sting you for
they
shit like that.
They do sting you, but you don't, it would be nice
especially
if you got
what,
a free
what,
pair
you
of waders.
You want it now?
Yeah. You want it up
you
front.
Want it, you want it now?
Mate.
No, we can't do that. Well, we can, but it's going to cost you the earth.
It's going to cost you the
earth. How much is in your account? Yeah, at least half of that. I went into the bank the other day. I went to the gym bank that we use for the gym. I won't throw them under the bus, even though you're shit. It's just a sweeping statement because you're a bank and you're all kind of shit. But I went into this place the other day to pay a check-in, right?
They're looking at how often does that happen,
right? I walked in, this bit of paper. And I walk up to the counter I pass her the check and the card. And first time I've been in this place, aside from to set the accounts up, pass the check and the card under. And she looked at it and she went, you don't have counter access. What do you mean I don't have counter access?
Punch?
Well, no, they, it's like, this is the counter. You don't have access to the counter on your account. You have a different account. You need a different account for that. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do with this check?
When I feed this.
She's like, oh, well, you just use one of the automated check cashing machines. I'll show you how to use it. So then she gets up out of her fucking seat, comes out of the counter area and walks over and cashes the check for me.
Did she change her uniform?
In the automated, she didn't even speak to me as she was doing it. She just did it for me. It's not like even like she was teaching me how to do it. Like, so oh, so I don't have counter access, but I can get you to come from the counter and do the automated thing for me.
Excuse me, slave.
Like, it would have been so much quicker to just do it.
Just do it.
Just crack on.
Nike knew what they were talking about.
Who?
Nike.
Nike?
Just do it.
Just do it. Just do it. I thought it was swoosh.
Sorry, mate.
Anyway, we were talking about the fights, weren't we? We keep jumping
around. We were on Blades.
Blades.
I can't remember what got us to talking about going into the bank. It would have been me. So
talking about when you were an egg.
Yes. And I
tell us about when you were an egg.
Remembering, because you were talking about inside.
There we go. And we remember. Look at us. Bringing it back.
Motherfucker. I'm not even going to tell you how to do that remembering thing now. It's not that I can't remember. It's just a secret.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Yeah. But do you have any of those things like north, south, east and west?
Never. Naughty elephant squirt water or do never really? Eat shredded wheat.
Never eat shredded wheat is the one I remember.
Mine was Adidas. All day I dream about sex. And we said that last week, didn't we? Or one of the other ones. You know, can you remember the SWOC seal with a love and kiss? And is it Norwich? Knickers off when I get home or something like that. There was one. My boss, Claire Eaton. And that's her full name. Lady Claire of the Manor, we used to call her.
Claire of Eaton.
Yeah, she lived in Belper and she bought herself a 4x4 in case it snowed, which it never did, which was a bit fucking stupid if you ask me. So she once came up to me and she was like, someone's just sent me a text and all it says is F-A-F-A-A-P. And she's like, you know stuff like this. What does it mean? And I was like, F-A-F-A-A-P. Fuck knows. No, mate, I am not with you on this. You're talking cod shit. So she rang her dad. And her dad didn't know. But then this fella rang up, and apparently it stands for fancy a fucking a pizza. But then she had to ring her dad and explain what it was.
Oh, no.
Which is kind of bad, isn't it?
How do you cover that then?
Oh, yeah. Fancy a
fig. A fig? What's this fucking?
Do you have pineapple on your
Greece?
Pizza? No, but I have figs. Figs?
Fig. What kind of fucking lavish life is he living?
I don't think I've ever had a fig. Ever. Especially not on a pizza.
Yeah.
Fancy a flower?
That's what Mystery does at weekends. He rides swans and sucks on figs.
I wonder what the fuck you were going to say. Sucks on fucking swans and rides a fig. Jesus. No, it's...
It's illegal to eat swans in the UK, but you can ride them if you're small enough.
Yeah, if you've got enough figs to pay the piper. There's so much, and I know fucking shit like that when you have to explain. Stacey's mate once came home and she went into a bedroom and her vibrator was just stood in the middle of the floor, just stood there. And she lived with her dad, didn't have a mom, just her and her dad. Went downstairs and her dad was like, absolutely fucking white. And she went, everything all right? And he went, yeah. Couldn't find the dog earlier. He got in your bedroom. And then I heard him attacking something. Then I heard him growling. And apparently this dog's found this vibrator, turned it on somehow by chewing it, fought back and left the fucking wounded corpse of a fucking rampant rabbit just sat in a bedroom. Just no life left. Kill me.
Can you imagine that?
What the fuck do you
What's
do?
What's that noise? What's the dog barking at? Fucking
get it. Just drags it out, shaking it. And he's like, oh, it's one of them things. Dad shouldn't see that, man.
No, they shouldn't.
Oh, fuck.
No.
I'm proper screwed. I'm fucked, honestly. I can remember when Stacey's dad once was hanging out washing and just turned to me with like the skimpiest thong and went, what's that for? I was like, oh bro, we can't have this conversation. Oh, fucking hell. Terrifying. Yeah, I can't talk like that.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Craziness. Anyway, Curtis Blades looked good.
He did look really good.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
JDS looked old.
Who else was on the card? Yeah, JDS did.
Who else was on the card? Only your boy Michael Chiesa.
Yeah, Chiesa looked good.
Fucking did he.
Looked very good.
I was kind of gutted with his...
Angela Hill as well.
Angela Hill looked good. I was gutted with Chiesa's speech afterwards because I wanted to... I wanted him to,
you want him to get it all out.
Yeah, I know he did, but he did it in a too polite way because even though he did that walk off like, this is what I'm going to say, this is what I want, he then turned around and the camera caught him hugging, was it Bisping or DC? Whoever went in, I think it was DC. I think they're giving DC a bit of mic time, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're chucking him into the cage. So it was one of them, I was like, oh, come on. I went to him like,
yeah.
Fucking, just fucking, 5 years ago, that would have been a title.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's a fucking massive win. And RDA.
And he's, what's he got now? Condit, Sanchez and RDA?
Yeah.
He's got a little streak at welterweight.
For real?
He is good at welterweight. We said it in the war room, though, didn't I? About like
he's a fucking monster.
The size difference in comparison still.
Yes.
Like RDA, he made RDA look like a lightweight.
Yeah.
And RDA is still, he's too big for lightweight. Same as Pettis. Pettis looked terrible the other week, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's just that weight class, man. It's just a step too far. How about the boys, though? Brett Johns and Arnold Allen.
Good lads. I watched the Brett Johns one first.
Yeah.
So pleased for him.
Good, right?
Mate, if really you good. At first you don't succeed, try and try and try and try.
Yeah.
Mate, he was not giving up, was he?
No.
Fucking hell.
He looked good. And that first fight of the night as well, Gilbert Burns' brother, Herbert.
Yeah, I missed it. I started on Brett Johns. I need to go back and watch it.
Like, he came out like a bat out of hell, tried to get a submission, was chasing it. And had this like... It was an awkward choke situation, locked up like a what was it, anaconda? No, it would have been a DARS. And it was locked up, and he was holding onto it, like kind of just waiting for a moment where he could properly cinch it up and finish it. And eventually, the guy managed to scramble out of it and he caught him with a knee. Really good though.
Filth.
Yeah. Good. Man. Really good.
Well, all of them. Him. Do you reckon? Because Arnold Allen, at one point, he's. Do you think he's gone a little bit John Fitchy?
John Fitch?
You know, now he's training at TriStar. Remember GSP, before he had the belt, was mental.
Yeah.
And then after the belt, and I'm not, because
way more aggressive. Yeah, GSP being, the turning point for me with GSP was the Matt Serra knockout.
Oh, completely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Arnold Allen's just, there's nothing like outwardly mean about him.
No, and you know what I mean? He almost channels that inner GSP where he's, because he's not vocal or he's not coming and screaming and shouting, but I would have thought, I mean, props to Nick Lentz is a fucking
tough guy,
honestly.
Yeah,
but it was one of them where I just thought there would have been a time before and he's just pulling that trigger a little bit harder. But I think, mate, there's nothing wrong with being John Fitch, because John Fitch was fucking brilliant, but the problem is you don't get that same recognition. Like,
yeah, maybe he was waiting on Lentz shooting. I mean, he was quite heavy on that lead leg with his hands down.
Yeah,
his striking looked amazing.
He did get caught a couple of times as well with his hands down, which I don't know.
I think more than anything, I think he was trying to encourage Nick Lentz into a boxing match instead of shooting on him. But he was ready for that shot all the time, you know.
Crazy.
Yeah,
but impressive
man as well. Like, is that her first fight after having a child? She was out for a couple of years, wasn't she?
I think so. Yeah.
And she looked, her wrestling's just what, 3 takedowns, and Landsberg never got back up to her feet. That's some wrestling skills, that is. Exactly. Some good scraps. I was really impressed with Angela Hill. Especially after, was that last fight, where was it, Mexico City?
Yes, I think so. I'll check.
And she cracked that girl with an elbow up against the fence.
Yeah.
Cut her wide open. And I spoke to her on the ESPN desk afterwards, and I mentioned about her elbows. And I think that's the best thing about MMA, I think. Like no matter what weight class you're in, you can find a way to finish.
Yeah.
Like, The power punches decrease as the weight classes go down.
Yeah.
Right? So the lighter you are, generally, that you have less power punches. A power puncher in a light weight class, like a John Lineker or someone like that, they stand out because you're like, well, where's that coming from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then, like Angela Hill, she might not have that firepower to knock somebody out with her fists. But
she's
if
got
she can,
Kenny Florian elbows.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a game changer, that is. Like, even if you start bolting submissions onto it, thinking back to Gunnar Nelson against Charles Oliveira.
Oi.
Not Charles Oliveira. I did it again. Fuck. Alex Oliveira. Cowboy. Alex Oliveira.
I would have
hit
said
him with
Charles
the elbow
Oliveira.
And then went for the neck.
Why am I
Charles Oliveira is the lightweight.
Yeah, of course he is.
That's on a streak. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
White Wayfarers.
The one that's copied your glasses.
He has.
He's all about your style.
To be fair, I did see some nice Osiris glasses the other day that did I bought. Yeah.
Oh, you're switching over.
They're like aviators, but glasses.
Nice.
Stay said I look like a cunt.
Of course she did.
That means she loves me.
Yeah.
That's what I tell myself.
Well,
hell for love.
Yeah, she probably does.
Yeah.
Probably.
Deep down.
Probably. Do you want to have a quick chat about 247?
Yeah, I've got
it. Are we doing another podcast before then? We are, aren't we? We're doing it Monday.
Well,
there's no fights this weekend.
I know. Oh, what about then? Bellator. Do you see some of Bellator's fights?
Yeah, what did I watch?
Fucking Aaron Pico icing people. And I watched Sergio Pettis.
Yeah, Sergio looked good.
And then fucking Cyborg.
Yeah, Cyborg with all the belts.
So but who's...
Which
bloke is the closest to doing that? Is it Eddie Alvarez or DJ? Would they be close? Like Eddie Alvarez, what?
I think Overeem, isn't it?
Overeem needs a UFC one, then they'll have Strikeforce.
Dream.
Dream.
K1.
Pride.
Pride.
Well, he's got four then. I know. Yeah, Strikeforce, Pride, K1.
Yeah.
And Dream. Has he got K1 and Dream? I'm sure he has.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's got K1. Yeah, K1 and Dream both.
Well, Overeem's already done it then.
Yeah, but it's not the same if you ain't got the UFC belt.
No,
is
you
it?
Do need
that's,
UFC
that's the UFC. That's the crown jewel on the fucking.
Eddie Alvarez is close.
Yeah.
Because he had Bellator, UFC. Does Bodog count? Was it Bodog that he was in?
I don't know.
Is it a bit tin
foil? This is the thing. How do you qualify? Is it the quality of the belt?
Well.
Is that what it is?
That's going to be paper then.
No, Bodog had a good belt.
Did they?
Yeah, they used to have those fights in ballrooms and stuff.
But did they give it to the fighter or was that the show belt?
They
just stamped a ticket on like a card to say, you got one defense.
You got a weightlifting belt with a plastic plaque on it. Yeah. I got a few of those fucking things. Never kept them. The only two belts I've got are my Cage Warriors ones in the gym.
They're nice.
Yeah, they are nice.
And DJ, what's DJ got? UFC and one. Is that all?
Yeah, but he's got 12 UFC belts.
Yeah, but he has got like, he's weighing one side of his house down.
Yeah. He can wear a new one every month.
Man. Yeah, so
quite a few people are close then.
Yeah, but it's impressive. Yeah. Cyborg looked good.
Yeah,
but it's, the Bellator
Musasi. Musasi must be close as well, isn't he? Henderson, Dan Henderson.
Dan Henderson had two Pride or Pride UFC. Did he have a Strike Force? No, he didn't. Because Jake Shields man fucked him, didn't he?
Yeah,
just held him down, mounted him.
Couldn't finish five
rounds. Four rounds. But and Dan Anderson had a round in him, and then was like, "Why aren't you stopping?" And Jake was like, "One minute."
You know the weird thing about Jake Shields, I noticed this when he was on Polaris the other week. Jake Shields looks tired almost immediately.
Yeah,
but he just never seems to slow down. He just fights a consistent pace. It's like you bring him up to that competition level, and then he just maintains that pace throughout. But that pace is always him going.
Yeah. But he's still firing.
He's fucked. How is he?
Yeah. What round is this? 2 minutes in.
He's not slowing down.
Imagine that. Honestly, on Dan Henderson. Yeah. He's like, I slammed fucking DC. It's like, well, maybe you did.
I don't know. Maybe he's just discovered a... It was Dominic Cruz has got a weird breathing method as well when he's got a weird everything, Dominic Cruz, hasn't he?
He is a bit of like, you know when you're on Facebook and you're looking scrolling through Monster. And there's someone doing a citizen's arrest with someone going, tell us what your name is. How old did they say they were? And he's like, I'm sorry, I know what I've done. It's like, yeah, keep... And I just expect to see Dominic there one time with his little dog. I'm like, what? I didn't text anyone. I got bad knees. I don't text. Do you know what I mean?
I don't like people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a... Yeah. But he had this thing. I think Rogan commented on it in the commentary one time. Because he has this... Like, obviously he has this weird movement that he does. And then every now and then he'll go...
Yeah, but it's almost like, I feel like a little
like,
hump.
Feel kind of like a muppet,
like a little hunchback. Yeah,
like they've got their arms on sticks, and they do that, don't they?
They do. They want, don't
street.
Do that. Oh, fuck me up. Jeez.
Hey Bert.
Anyway.
Hey Bert.
Oh man. Yeah, Dominic Cruz.
Well, we'll talk about the fights next week. Next week, then will we? We'll talk about next week's fights next week.
Yeah, because so we've got nothing.
Bellator. I only watched bits on Instagram. Because I find Bellator very hard to find on anywhere, any platform to watch.
You can't.
Is it really? Well, I didn't try that out then, did I?
Yeah, no, I don't.
I'm like, fuck it, I'll see him on Instagram.
Yeah, sometimes I go on Instagram. I go too illegal too quick.
Two fat blokes punching each other. I'll watch it on Instagram. Yeah.
I just watch the highlight. But I sometimes go too illegal too quick. Like, even though there's like too a illegal stream,
too quick.
Yeah, there's a legit stream of, say, like The Irishman on Netflix, and I'm downloading it thinking, I'm going to get a new film. And they're like, it's there. Like, we can have it. You've paid for it.
Too illegal too quickly.
Yeah. So I do that with fucking. Yeah, Bellator.
Yeah.
Kind of fucks me. I just think, just put it on Fight Pass. Just put it on fucking Fight Pass. Just be like, all right, for every subscription we get, you're going to get £2.50. It's like OnlyFans, but we've got a bit of Bellator.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, like, there's enough shit on Fight Pass now. That
it's Division One, isn't it?
I mean, you don't need to be anywhere else. Just go on there. So, fucking sort it out.
Yeah. Like, what's the league under the NFL in America? I mean, that's bad because I don't even fucking know what it is. That's not a good sign. Yeah, but there must be a secondary. Yeah, like, you know what I mean. Like, they're not going, No. We need to try and like compete with the UFC. Yeah. It's like there's like a structure to it, and that's what we were saying with the belts as well. Like, you know, you can have all the belts, but the UFC belt's the one. You know what I mean?
Sit down, mate. Because the thing is,
and I'm not saying that because I work for the UFC. I mean, I kind of am, but I'm kind of not at the same time because the UFC is the pinnacle of the sport.
But it's almost like a drunk idiot trying to talk to a bouncer. Do you know what I mean? Like, the bouncer's just like, just go away, mate. Leave it. Yeah. You're not going to compete.
Yeah.
Just walk away, mate. Just leave it, mate. Listen, mate, I've not had a drink. No, just walk away. And they're like, just a little fucking yappy wasp or fucking Jack Russell.
Imagine how good it would be if all of the MMA was on Fight Pass.
That's what I mean. Just put it there.
Like, on Fight Pass.
Because I'll watch it more.
Fighters moving up and down between the organisations as and when. Like, Jack Shaw's moved up.
Yeah,
Dalby moved down. Now he's moved back up. You know what I mean? There's no reason why
you can league it out.
Exactly.
Just fucking and it'll all just backlink. Because that's simple. Because the thing is, I'm more likely to watch. The thing is now with apps, it's fucking mint because it's on your telly, and you just bang straight in, and it's UFC world.
Yeah.
Which is fucking mint.
It's not even UFC. It's MMA though. Isn't
MMA
it
world. Yeah.
Like, you've got Gloria. Well, it's not even MMA. It's just martial arts, combat sports. Polaris, Eddie Bravo. Glory,
Cage Warriors, that Lethway,
loads of everything stuff on there.
But if Bellator was there, it would be the second one I press.
Yeah,
and that's because they've got most of the people I know because they've trickled down from the UFC or
potential to go on.
It's got enough interest. Yeah. MVP, people like that.
It would be a shame if we don't see MVP in the UFC at some point.
For real,
it would, you know. But at the same time, Bader's still champion. Yeah, Bader's still champ. Yeah. Like, why don't we get Bader against Jones as a rematch again?
Yeah, Bader and DC.
Yeah, but so when Bader fought Jones the first time, he was undefeated.
Yeah, well, everyone who beat Bader got a title shot, if you remember.
Yeah.
He got to a point where, like, you beat Ryan Bader and you go...
He just kept hitting that ceiling, didn't he? A bit like Cowboy. He did Bisping, didn't he? Just bang, bang.
Bisping ceiling.
Yeah.
The count ceiling.
You keep banging your head hard enough against it, though, you get through eventually.
Fucking hell.
Or at least Bisping did.
That was one of the best moments, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it just makes no sense to not have it there because, well, if you're a TV company that can't put your program on TV, that's like you asking me to bring a T-shirt and me just being like, ooh, sorry. You won't believe the problems I've had trying to bring you a T-shirt. You've got 7,000 in an office. Yeah, but I just try and grab it and my hand just stays as a fist. And it's like, well. Do you know what I mean? You'd be fucking... That's not going to last long, dickhead. Sort it out.
Open so that's hand. What we think. That's that where they're our thoughts.
Put Bellator on fucking Fight Pass, you dickhead. Easy. Anyway. It's simple. Simple business.
Are we good? Anything else you want to discuss?
I've got one other thing, I think.
Or one other thing.
Oh, shit. No, a couple. Well, very quickly then.
Go on then.
You know this new virus... That's kicking about.
Oh, the coronavirus. Where you've got to have lime in your beer.
No shit. There's an article in a paper that people have Googled. Is the coronavirus linked to Corona beer?
Brilliant. I saw a meme the other day of a fridge stocked with Corona. Did you see it? And it was, I think I can feel the coronavirus coming on. I'm gonna stay at home.
but some people will see that as like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking bonkers. You know, those people might have children.
Yeah.
And can vote.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
Is the coronavirus linked to the beer?
I know.
While they're drinking one.
I'm telling you, man, there are different stages of evolution dwelling on the planet at the same time. Convinced of it.
Full target.
I'm convinced of it. There always has been all the way through history. But now we just all pretty much look the same. Well, we don't. We look very different. But you know what I mean? We're kind of mixed
hide
in
plain
enough.
Sight
and like, we're like, we've been like shook up enough that we're all kind of mixed in. And there are definitely some people that are just on a fucking Windows 95 operating system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the problem is it's like They Live. You remember that film with Rowdy Piper where he puts the glasses on and he says, I came here to chew ass. Chew ass. No, he didn't. He didn't say that.
He did.
Rowdy
you
Piper.
You just said that.
Did not
That's what
say
he said.
That. He didn't chew ass.
He came here to chew ass.
No. That's the porn version. He came here to kick ass and chew bubblegum. And he's all out of bubblegum.
Chew ass and kick bubblegum.
Yeah. Imagine. What are you doing, Rowdy? Stop it. Stop kicking that chewing gum, you scruffy bastard.
You scruffy bastard.
You mucky pup. So, I can't remember what the fuck I was going to say now.
So kicking chewing gum's now become an analogy for licking bum holes.
Yeah. Is he kicking bubble gum? Yeah. Tastes like batteries.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no. I'm sorry, mum and dad. I'm sorry.
We've broken.
Can we have an automatic cut off my parents like 5
yeah.
minutes ago?
Yeah, they have to. Yeah.
Just all of a sudden it just goes blank on their screen. We have a little girl sitting next to a fucking drawing board with a weird.
With
puppet.
A clown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, mum. We've been blanked again, Mark.
Yeah, we've been geo-blocked.
Yeah,
just for that postcode.
Oh man.
Yeah,
they can never see it. No, I can't remember what the point I was making about Rowdy Piper.
He was eating ass.
He was chewing ass. I came to kick ass and chew bubblegum.
You were talking about the movie that he was in when he put the glasses
they
on.
They Live. Yeah, so this is what I'm saying. The people that... And that was that. The people that are coming across and they look super normal and like intelligent and all the rest of it. But then they let you know that they're not and they're a bit special and a bit mental. And you're like, you live in the same world. There's a clip on, I can't remember what it was on.
I'm going to have to get up. That's your alarm.
Have you got sex cramps again? Are you putting a shift in?
No.
Jesus.
I've got wrestling cramps. I have legitimately.
Wrestling?
I'm not sorry to cut you off. I'm gonna have to get up and get some precision hydration in a minute because I'm probably cramping.
The only hydration.
The only hydration. We were doing Inside the Octagon yesterday, and right at the end of the show, as we're finishing up, we turned to the camera to wrap. As soon as we wrapped, I've moved my foot and it fucking cramped immediately.
Oh.
And I'm like, it's like my toes are trying to curl underneath and fucking start a fight with my heel.
O face claw.
Ugh. And I'm, and I'm just like trying to stare down the camera lens and look like I'm not in horrendous pain. Like
with your legs twitching, like you're attached yeah. to a pylon.
Oh, and then I was getting on my drive home as well. You were talking about Rowdy Piper.
I was. Oh yeah, this person.
That's the end of that.
Yeah, that was the end. Fuck it. That's ridiculous. I said he chewed us and that's him. He's dead now. Bless him. We shared a birthday, me and Rowdy.
Did you really? Yeah.
Yeah, a few years
just
apart.
One?
Yeah, just the one. He banned me from ever going back.
Whose birthday was it, yours or his?
Well, we tried. Should we have a party, Rowdy? Fuck off. Yeah, he's not
too loud.
Oh, imagine.
I am properly cramping everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh. I think the only other thing, it was the coronavirus. And, the first one I got for you.
Yep.
Skipping's underrated.
Skipping?
Skipping.
As in jumping rope?
No, the motion to move forward faster than walking, but not running.
Yeah, it is.
No shit, right?
It's reserved for young children.
Yeah, you know if you ever want to get your kids to school faster?
Make them skip.
Fucking hell. The amount of times, I don't know how many of you have got children, but it is sometimes like trying to like fucking herd fog. It is fucking insane. Honestly, it's like flatting piss. Just asking them to do anything.
That's why I'm cramping in my abs, because I'm laughing.
Sorry.
Fuck me.
I have now realised that basically when I go to school, I do the run, I do the drop-off. I say to Libby, let's skip. There must be videos of me somewhere skipping like a fucking madman all the way to school because it gets her in like 30 seconds. It's fucking brilliant. Try skipping.
I'm probably
cramping
up.
Oh.
Yeah, bring us that.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'll be quiet
I've
now.
Got to, before we finish the podcast, I've got to show you guys this. This is awesome.
Nice, go on.
So, I follow an account on Instagram. If you don't follow this account and you're a Hunter S. Thompson fan, follow this account. They're called rx.gonzo. I follow them. I don't know who runs the account. I've not met the person. Dakota, thank you. This is awesome. They've got loads and loads of great photos of Hunter S. Thompson, loads of like old archive history and that kind of stuff. And I love following the account because I've always been really inspired by Thompson. And my favorite time of Thompson's life was when he was running for sheriff of Aspen. Just because of, it was when he realized the power that he'd got, and then he started to try and channel it into something where it could make a difference. And they actually posted a photo a couple of days ago, which I've screenshotted and kept. Because it's just such a it's a photo of Hunter S. Thompson sitting at a table with Bill Clinton before he was president, trying to convince Thompson of his
being an absolute G,
and Thompson's just being real judgmental. But but Thompson represented the rock and roll vote. Can you zoom in?
Oh, you got it.
Thompson represented the you got it. Thompson represented the rock and roll vote. So candidates knew that if they could get him on board and, then they've got a big chunk of the population that wasn't accounted for, outside of the 60s, really. And that was 1992. And he was just such an influential figure. And when he was running for Aspen, sheriff of Colorado, it was as ridiculous as some of his books are, but in a brilliant way. Everything's well thought out. So he was going to change the name of Aspen to Fat City to stop people moving there and stop the price of the property going up. Nice. And all these people moving.
Genius.
Just basically trying to maintain what it was. He was going to legalize all drugs. He shaved his head down to the skin so he could refer to his opponent as that long-haired hippie and those kind of things. Because he knew those were the things he was going to aim for. But it was freak power. He was the freak vote. And these guys have put this book together. Nice one. And this book is awesome. I'll hold it for you in a second. So this is the Freak Power book. This is the Freak Power book. Oh, look at that. If you're a Thompson fan.
That's awesome.
It's a beautiful book anyway. And it's you go through it and you go through it and you've just got photos and great history, great photos of Thompson. Loads and loads of good archive information. Oh, there we go. And that's with the lawyer.
Like this.
That's the tattoo I've got on my leg. That's exactly the same one I've got on my leg. It's an amazing book. I've not fully appreciated it yet because I want to give it some time. Loads and loads of good stuff to read, different clips out of newspapers and stuff. But anyway, so if you're a Hunter S. Thompson fan, follow that account and get a hold of this book. I think they're limited, so you might not be able to anymore.
Get the box.
Pass me the other thing out of the box. And this is amazing. So chatting to the people that run the account, they asked me if I was a fan of Ralph Steedman, who's the guy that does all the sketchy, scratchy artwork that suits Thompson's style of writing. And they sent me this. Oh. So that's the Gonzo drawing. That's Dr. Gonzo by Ralph Steedman, the classic, the original design. It's a limited edition print and he signed it as well.
How sick is that?
For a Hunter S. Thompson fan, that's kind of special.
I got up.
Joe Rogan had a Hunter S. Thompson signed letter at his,
really?
In his podcast setup, in his studio.
Did you steal it?
I have a Hunter S. Thompson signed letter.
If we'd have folded a lighter into it, Mystery would have had it in his pocket.
Yeah. Cool, right?
Yeah, really cool.
Just awesome. And the thing is that there's loads of good documentaries about Thompson anyway. There's Gonzo is one of them, Buy the Ticket, Take the Ride. He was just a fascinating individual, which is one of the reasons why I've got him on my leg.
Something like that.
So thank you so much for that. Rx.gonzo on Instagram, give him a follow. Very cool.
Nice, man.
All good? Fucking I am perfect. Cramping bad, so I need to hydrate. Thank you everybody for joining us. Enjoy the fights that next. Aren't happening this weekend.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next time.
Watch something else.
maybe we'll start a fight and we'll film it and we'll put it up for you. Oh, Raptors. They've just volunteered. There we go. So the Raptors are facing off this weekend, Saturday night, live on YouTube pay-per-view, full Reptile YouTube pay-per-view.
Bantamweight.
Really? Bantamweight? Cigarette weight. cigarette weight Rizzler. Championship. The Rizzler weights. Yes.
Green Rizzler weight.
The Rizzler weight championships.
You can be from like a different organization, so you're raw paper. Yeah, OCBs. It's all sponsored by Raw.
Oh, good. Yes.
Thank you, man. Take it easy.
Catch you next time.